Okay, today is April 8th, 2013. This is an interview with, you go by Betty, right?
Betty Roberts.
Mm-hmm. We are here actually at Sequoia Library here in Madison. And my name is Troy Reeves, and I'm with the UW-Madison Oral History Program. Betty, for sound quality purposes, could I get you to say your name and spell your last name?
Should I use the initial? If you're putting it in archives, Betty L. Roberts.
Okay. And then if you could spell Roberts for me.
R-O-B-E-R-T-S.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Betty. So we were talking briefly there before we turned on the recorder. And why don't we start with the idea that you were here at UW-Madison. Well, you know, if you don't mind talking about a little bit about the reason that got you to Madison. Which was, you just said, meeting a fine young man in Chicago.
I was in the nursing program I had at Cook County Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. And while there, there was Navy Pier was nearby, and they would take Saturday nights groups of young nurses down there to the dances, and it was to keep the young men from getting too lonely by being in service and away from home. And while there, I met a young man from Chicago, but his family is from northern Wisconsin. And do I give you names?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
John Roberts. And we fell madly in love, and once I graduated in 1955 in September, we decided to elope and come to campus here so he could go to school. He decided to go to get his college education at University of Wisconsin because he was from Wisconsin. Which was fine with me because then I could work at university hospitals, mm-hmm. the old university hospitals, which was on University Avenue.
Thank you for that. So when you eloped and moved here, where did you and your husband live first?
On Langdon Street, in a small apartment on the curve of Langdon towards the lake, and I can't remember the name of the street, but it was down there near the Alumni Center now.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was one of those little courts.
Now, again, before we turned on the recorder, you said that your husband got 2 degrees at UW. What were his degrees in?
I don't know what he said. He actually finished his PhD here.
Oh, okay.
In urban regional planning.
Oh, okay.
Natural resources.
Okay. So, but there was a time, it sounded like, that you may go somewhere else, but you said it was time for you to get some more education?
Because we were running, you know, short of funds. And when he got his master's degree, I can't remember if it was we had run out of the GI Bill, which helped us during school because it paid for his tuition and books. Lord knows I wish that they had it now for the events. But anyway, so we did go to Baltimore so he could work for, I think we were there 2 years, and we decided that was not a good place to stay. We didn't care for the East Coast, so he applied to grad school at the university in the Department of Urban Regional Planning, and he was accepted as a grad student, and he started to work on his PhD, and I applied to the School of Nursing and started part-time towards my degree, bachelor's degree in nursing.
Okay. So when you went to Cook County, what sort of degree did you get?
You get an RN, which is a registered nurse.
Okay.
I had passed the state boards.
Okay. Now, you were saying again before the we turned on the recorder that it sounds like you needed that bachelor's degree because there was a change in nursing.
There was a directional change in nursing to become a collegiate program for all nurses. Otherwise, they felt it was really a technical program. So
when you were taking classes then here mm-hmm. at UW-Madison, mm-hmm. where was this School of Nursing located?
In various areas on campus. I had to take the usual prerequisites of English and some of that. And then the School of Nursing was next to the hospital on University Avenue, the old School of Nursing.
And you said you were doing this part-time, so you were still working at University Hospital, or were you working at University
yeah,
Hospital while
yes,
you were?
Yes, I was. Okay. Yes, I was, in the emergency room.
Okay.
I had started out in the emergency room, and that's when, 55, when did the upheaval on campus begin?
Well, that was more of the late 60s. The Dow riot was 1967. And then the Sterling Hall bombing was 1970. But it sounds like
there was rioting. There was students marching. There was tear mm-hmm. gas, and it must have been. It had to be before 1970.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I finished, and I was working in the emergency room at that time. I'd have a class up in Bascom Hall. Do you know where the old hospital is?
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, I grab my book bag and go up the hill, Bascom Hall, and find the classroom, and there'd be a sign hanging on the door, no classes today because of disruptions or something, because students were marching,
mm-hmm.
and there was tear gas all over. So then I'd go back down, and the halls were filled outside the ER with students waiting to get in, and they're such smart asses, they'd say things like, how many people have died out here in the hall waiting to get into the emergency room? Hmm. We'd say none,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to be very disruptive at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that had to be between 65 and 70.
Right. Yeah. So when you first came to work at the hospital, so it's
that
like
was
mid-50s.
Yeah,
right?
That was the mid-50s, 56 probably I started.
And were you in the emergency room then?
No. Actually, I had started out on 4B. Men's medical unit.
Okay.
Boys' wing, as I remember. Yeah.
Okay. So you worked there for roughly a decade before you started doing emergency room?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Was that something you wanted to do, or is that just something that the way it all sort of shook out, you ended up there?
I think that was pretty much. They say, they come to you and say, we have an opening in the ER, you have ER experience, so would you
mm-hmm.
would you like to take that? That's what I did.
So you had ER experience?
From Cook County.
Oh, okay.
We had rotations through there. Some of the schools didn't, schools that graduated nurses from hospitals
mm-hmm.
didn't have much, but our ER experience at Cook County was very good.
Did they, so you end up being an ER nurse around the time that all the protests started?
Yes, because I can remember we had a lot of tear gas around campus at the time. There were a lot of marches, there were class disruptions, and this was sort of building, I think, up to Mm-hmm. You know, there were rallies on campus, and I thought, why does this have to happen when I'm just going back to mm-hmm. school and, you know, and working too? And I just, you know, I thought, will I be able to finish? You know, I didn't know how it was going to disrupt the U,
right.
Whatever.
So, practically where, when you came back from, well, where were you living during this time period? So 65 to 70, where were you and
your
husband living?
At that point, we had moved to Brook Street. There was a brick house, I think it's still standing. It was larger. And we had a little girl by then.
What is Brook Street near? What part of town is that?
Off of Johnson.
Okay.
It's between Johnson and University.
Okay, so you were still near
old
near
campus, yeah, because we were both in school.
Okay. So how did you deal with daycare or childcare responsibilities between working and going to school?
We sort of helped. There were other friends that were going to school too, and we helped one another. Couldn't really afford daycare at that time, so you tried to plan your classes so that either your husband was home or you could drop the baby off at a friend, mm-hmm. and then you would in reverse take care of them.
Okay.
And we had the Ludlow family was nearby, close friends of John, and Sally, who was a nurse also. Would take care of, you know, then we'd take care of her oldest boy.
Okay.
As a baby at the time. Now that I think about it, those are rough times. They were tight times. I didn't really understand what it was that the students were trying to achieve. And I think Soglin, was he a student here then?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Soglin is just, in case we don't know who's going to listen to this in the future, Soglin is the current mayor, Paul Soglin, who's been mayor two other times, including in the mid-70s, I think, is when
mm-hmm.
he was first
mm-hmm.
mayor,
mm-hmm.
and was a student here during the late 60s,
Chicago.
Early
70s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I back up just a couple years? Because I think it's
uh-huh.
always interesting to ask, particularly as we're getting,
mm-hmm.
close to the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. Do you remember where you were in November of 1963 when you heard about the assassination?
I was picking up my daughter. I was picking up my son from a friend who was babysitting. I had just finished a class. And they lived in an apartment. You know where Hilldale is now?
Mm-hmm.
They had just finished Hilldale, but there were those apartments right
mm-hmm.
behind there.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and Anne said, she came to the door and she opened, she said, "Come on in, quick, they've just shot the president, and I'm watching it on television." I said, "What?" You know, and we sat there and watched it, and I remember I could look out and see Hilldale, because their windows face that way.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I think of that, that's what you recall,
right.
You know, what you were doing. Well, my son was maybe 3-4 then. And,
so did you have two children? You mentioned a little girl.
Yes, two.
Okay.
Yeah, my daughter was older, and my son was about 4 then.
Okay.
So he wasn't in school yet.
Okay.
But Marisa was.
So what sort of things do you recall? I mean, you've alluded to it a couple of times, but what sort of things did you see? Well, let me back up. So when you worked the emergency room, did you work a specific shift each day?
Usually PMs.
Okay.
And that was because then I could take care of the kids and hopefully John could be home or somebody else could do it in the evening.
So are we like mid-afternoon to midnight? Is that what we're...
Yes, okay. 3 to 11.
Okay. You mentioned that the students lined up, you know, who had been...
They would, you know, there were so many that came in, they would sit along the floor and then, you know, we'd take their name and information and then call them out, you know, one by one. There were a lot of tear gas burns, inhalation problems, you know, breathing, and an occasional where there was a scuffle, there would be... you know, cuts and bruises that you had to dress, wash and dress, that type of thing. Occasionally the police would bring in people that they had rounded up and wanted checked out, but I don't recall at this point any major trauma cases. It was what we call the routine of crowd control and such. There were a lot of scrapes from falls, from being pushed, you know, that type of thing. And the thing was that it disrupted the schedule for the university classes, you know. They would pick a building or whatever. Mostly, as I recall, it was around Bascom Hill. And I think that's because, what, that's the symbol of the central area or the command of the university, do you think? I do remember the explosion of the lab. Being broken there, because that was horrendous. And I thought, oh Lord, if that had, you know, if I'd been working then, it would have been terrible.
So had you stopped working by that point? You said 1970?
No, I had finished, I had graduated, but I had had a scholarship from the Department of Nursing, the State Department. And I mean, we were both in school on scholarships, let's face it. But anyway, they said I had to work in a nursing program. And I don't know if you remember, but Madison General had a nursing school. So I thought, that was the first time that I've gone to a private hospital to work, as opposed to the state hospital. And so I went there and they hired me immediately. And so I worked there for 20 some years.
Okay. So, and where is, or where was Madison General?
Right where Meritage is today. That's
all right,
Meritage,
so Park
Hospital.
Street, so.
Yeah, okay. Brook Street. That's
okay.
Yeah, right down there. We had lived at the Brook Street on the other side of Regent. On the other side of Johnson, in fact, it was, because it was between Johnson and University. There's, but yeah. They closed their school, Madison General did, in, it must have been 1980, and then I stayed at the hospital and set up their first one-day surgery unit, you know. So, but to get back to this, I missed working at university hospitals, and I didn't think I'd be able to work at a small private hospital. That's what I would call them. Mm-hmm. It just turned out it was fine, okay. You know.
Do you recall, a lot of people have talked about the bombing, that they were woke up by it. Mm-hmm. Were you in town that day? Did you?
I can't recall that, no. Okay. But I do recall calling the hospital and asking if there's anything they, you know, needed help with. We didn't know at the time how bad, you know, it was, if it affected other areas, if other people, how many people were affected, that type mm-hmm. of thing.
But
because it was right across from the hospital, mm-hmm. that back part, mm-hmm. that ER, you know, the drive there. It's all changed now.
Right. So, so how did you feel as a, you know, you were working as a nurse on campus, but how did you feel as a student being on campus during, taking classes during this time period?
It was difficult for me in a way. I knew my nursing skills were good, but the hospital was always pleased with that. But I knew I needed to finish my degree, and now this campus was in upheaval, and I wasn't sure. You know, sometimes it enters your mind, will I be able to finish? Mm-hmm. I mean, are they going to disrupt everything? And I didn't know, you know, how long this was going to go on. And I really got sort of peeved at them. I remember that I thought, why does this happen now? What is it they want? I couldn't understand. I guess I felt they were sort of spoiled children. I didn't realize they wanted to end the war, right? I think, you know, and certainly we all agreed with that. But I thought to disrupt, you know, the college like that, I guess I grew impatient with them. Of course, now I'm sort of embarrassed to say it.
Mm-hmm. You were, a non-traditional, they'd call you sort of a non-traditional student.
Yeah,
so,
So
you're saying it was tough to relate to these 18, 19, 20-year-olds.
Very tough. They were getting their, you know, I thought they were getting their colleges paid for and, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, was difficult. In fact, you know, most of my classmates, even the School of Nursing felt that, you know, it was best to be a young woman coming from high school and going into the nursing program. Mm-hmm. But they had at that time two prong. You could be straight from high school, or you could be a returning student trying to finish a degree. You already had your registration, but they were trying to encourage as many RNs to finish their degree at that point. But, you know, at that time it was disrupting a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall ever ending up in a protest or in a place that was tear gassed?
Oh, just by going to classes, you were. Mm-hmm. You in fact, they had, you know, they would pick buildings, and they'd have pickets around, and if you wanted to get into the building for a class, you could try shoving your way past people, you know. And they might shove you back and say, stay out, mm-hmm. you know, don't go, that type of thing, until they want. That's what I remember on Basco, too. It was there was bonfires up there, as I remember, too. But up towards the Carillion Tower, there were classes in Soch there. And it was a battle sometimes getting into the classrooms. And then you got in and you didn't know if the instructor was going to come or not, because some of them were honoring, you know, the student protest, and others just couldn't get through or felt they were in danger, so they didn't want to do it. So you just didn't know if class was going to be held or not. It was that kind of thing.
Did you ever end up in the ER as a patient?
No. Thank God, no.
Did you ever end up having to help anybody outside of actually being in? You know, did something happen on?
I don't recall helping somebody off out of the ER. No, that I don't remember. I just remember being worried and frightened that something might occur once you push through. You know, there was a fear that if you went to class or tried to go, because there was a lot of shouting, and it was meant to scare you to stay away. Some of those poor students were very upset, you know.
When did you actually graduate with your degree? You said you had to go part-time.
69,
okay.
I think it was.
So spring of 69?
No, it was I think June, because we were in the stadium. I didn't have to go for 4 years worth of credits, because of I had taken some classes before while I was working, you know, and they gave me credits for a lot of my nursing, most of my nursing, in fact. So it was like, it took me 2 years, I'm trying to think, to finish up, but I don't remember how many credits that was, that entailed. I do remember having a husband and two kids at the stadium during graduation, and my son climbing to the, he was always climbing up, he still does this, at the stadium, but, it was an interesting graduation. So I was happy it was done. I really, at that point, and I can't remember, because it must have gone on, right? How long did you say it was? 75.
Well, the war ended in 74.
So
there were protests after the bombing in 1970, but they weren't as...
The bombing occurred in 1970.
August of 1970. So there were protests that occurred after the bombing, but they weren't nearly as attended.
At that point, I think that sort of squelched. Everybody was just...
That's what most people tell us, is the bombing really put a really big...
It was so horrendous. That was just over the top, you know. Then I think people sort of rallied and decided, you know, this had gone on too long.
After you graduated, did you and your husband move from that place on Brook Street, or were you still?
No, we did. We did. And we moved to a little house on Lucia Crest.
Now, I've heard that name. What part of town is that?
It's, you know, it's, are you from Madison?
No.
No, okay. It's off University Avenue out by, let's see, you get to Shorewood.
Okay.
It's, you go out University, then you turned by like Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. It's back in there.
Okay. Yep. That's why that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I ride the bus past there every day.
Yes.
Okay. So that removed you even sort of more from campus.
Campus. And it was a house. By then the kids were older and they were going to school. And so, and then that's why we just stayed there a couple of years, and then I looked for a house closer to better schools, I thought, and we bought a house on Frederick Lane down here, and then the kids went to Midvale in Cherokee, and I stayed working at Madison General, which became Meritor. And John accepted a job in the Department for Urban Regional Planning as a professor in natural resources. So this was called what, near?
Yeah, I don't remember what part of town.
Yeah, it's what we used, you know, that was. Mm-hmm. That was, Lucy had finished Hilldale, the new area out there, that part. So we didn't want to go past Midvale especially, but Memorial was being built, and I said, hey, I'd rather have them go to West High. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Idaho.
Idaho, okay, yes. Okay.
I want to get back to two more things. So
sure.
You said the 1969 graduation, you remember graduating. Do you remember, I don't know if anything specifically happened during that ceremony, but it was very much sort of in this protest time.
Yes, but I don't recall anything during the, you know, any, I think there were students that had, I can't recall anything unusual happening there, like as part of the protest. Mm-hmm. They were graduating. I know that we had, at the time, we had returning vets from Vietnam. And that became, you know, part of the nursing course, you have to have your clinical. And because I had been practicing for a while, they knew, you know, my clinical was okay, but they felt that I shouldn't be credited for working in the hospital that I originally worked in, you know. So they sent me to vets to do my clinical experience for the School of Nursing. And we were getting returning vets then, and from the war, and it was very busy, and it was very troubling to everybody to see some of the cases that we got. They were different than the old men that were there from, you know, previous wars. A lot of burns, as I remember.
So is that the VA hospital that's still?
Yes.
So a little, it's was farther out on University. Now it's.
Well, they've added on,
right.
But it was right there.
Yeah, it's now sort of part of the whole hospital complex.
Complex, yeah.
So what sort of things would you have to do at the VA as a clinical nurse? Or I guess you would.
Well,
you
did your routines. You know, you were assigned certain patients, and you did the bathing and the changing of the sheets, and then you, depending on the patient, if they were burns, you changed dressings, checked their pain levels, see how they were, you know, if they were eating, how they were doing, mentally, and. You know, you were a lot of them were from Wisconsin, but northern Wisconsin, and as I remember, they had this was nice to be finally back in Wisconsin, because they had been at other hospitals like in Texas when they came back from Vietnam, and now relatives could come down to see them, and that was nice. That helped them, but it was your usual war injuries. They were still developing types of dressings and techniques for doing the dressings so they wouldn't get infected, that type of thing. But the men themselves were very grateful to be back this far. They felt like they were close. They were almost home now, and you know, so the vet's hospital took as many as they could. It's a highly rated vet's hospital, so, and that was good.
Now, you were only there for part of your...
For the clinical, I wasn't there working on a steady basis. So I'd be like 2 days a week, and you'd get so many credits for it. But even at university hospitals, we would occasionally get a veteran there, depending on the injury, because of the doctors they had there to be treated. And, it was an unsettling time. Overall, I look at this as a very troubling time, and it was troubling to be sort of, I felt like I was sort of in the middle of it, trying to achieve something in my personal life, you know, to go through it, and I just wasn't sure how it was going to end. I was not big into politics, but I think that at the time, it does make you see the futility of all this. You know, personally right now, I think we've got to get out of Afghanistan. We're just kidding ourselves if we think we're leaving a few troops there. It's going to help. And I think part of that was from this era. I think you just got to cut bait and say, we're done there. It took its toll on people. I know nationally it was different, but unless you see the people that, you know, it affected, it's hard.
Yeah, it seems like you had an interesting place because you got to see students who were protesting against the war, but then you also had you had to see vets coming back from
that's
the war.
That's true. And you sort of want to shield the vets from that protest because there was the feeling that they were not doing good by being there. And there was that mixed feeling, now that you mention it. I don't think they saw the veterans as enemies, but you know, they didn't agree with the war. And so many people go to war as an American, you know, flag waving. So you had that mix of loyalties.
Betty, is there anything else you want to say sort of specifically about this time period, the 60s and 70s on campus?
Overall, there was a lot of confusion. We felt it from administration on down. There was a lot of disagreement as to how to handle it. But I have to say, I think the students had an effect. The students that were rebelling had an effect on our attitudes and directions and policies. Even though it was a fraction of the overall student body. They made themselves heard and felt.
Well, Betty, I want to thank you for your time today, this morning. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.